In the wonderful things that God hath done. Shall we turn to the first chapter of Matthew? Matthew 1. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I want to speak for a little while this morning on Christmas dreams. There are actually five of them, but we're only going to enlarge on the four that were given to Joseph. And before we begin that, I'd like to get just a little bit of the context or the background leading up to this first dream. And so let us go back to verse 18, where the historian tells us that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. And so I want to notice just a little bit about Joseph and the dilemma that this man faced. It is quite plain that Mary, his intended, his wife, his espoused wife, was indeed with child at this time. And of course, Joseph knew full well that he was not the father of that child. We read in verse 19 that Joseph was a just man, and that means that he was a righteous man. He was a godly man. And so he was, this word just indicates that it was self-evident. That is, this man lived an outward life of godliness and holiness before the Lord. And then you will also notice that he was not willing to make her a public example. Joseph didn't make this about himself. It was about her. He was determined to protect this woman. He well knew the requirements of the law. As you find there in the 8th chapter of John, adultery and fornication were punishable even by death. And Joseph was trying his best in order to protect this woman at this particular time. And so he did not want to put her away privily or secretly at this time. His mind was undoubtedly a whirlwind. Verse 20, while he thought on these things. and we consider these things, the things that we've already noted. And then, as I many have wondered over the years, did Mary tell him about her encounter, her meeting with the angel? Did he believe what she said? Did Joseph think about the scripture? As we read here, even in verse 23, as the angel told him, quoting from the book of Isaiah, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We find the same thing in our world today. After over 2,000 years, Scripture still proclaims the fact that Jesus is coming again. But if Jesus were appeared today, would everyone believe that this was actually happening? That this was actually the fulfillment of the Scripture? And so we find Joseph perhaps wondering, is this really so? We know that the Scripture tells it's going to happen, but happening now? Happening to my fiance? And so he was in a real quandary. This word thought, while he thought on these things, it has the meaning of passion. You look at some of the different words associated with it, and it means to breathe hard. It indicates that Joseph was almost in a panic, and we can understand that. And so this first dream is actually God's answer to him, setting his fears at rest, and indeed pulling Joseph into this place where he is simply going to believe God. As I said, there were those of that time, precious few, who actually believed that Jesus was here. We know that the shepherds believed, and they exercised that belief after the heavenly choir had sang to them. They stepped out and went into Bethlehem in order to see this child. We know that Elizabeth believed, and her husband Zacharias. They were the parents of John the Baptist, and undoubtedly they had no problem in believing in such supernatural happenings because of what had happened with them. Elizabeth had been barren all of her life, and yet in old age God gave to them again John the Baptist. Then we find Simeon. And Jesus is about 33 days old when they brought him to the temple. There was no introduction or anything of that nature, but Simeon knew that this was Jesus. I have, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, and now I can depart in peace. Then there, of course, was Anna. She came in about the same time, and here she was testifying of the same. She knew who he was. So I say there were precious few that really knew that Jesus had arrived into this world at that time. And so again, we can see what a quandary that Joseph's mind was actually in. The Pharisees at that time never did believe it. After Jesus was born, they would tell him, "We be not born of fornication." In other words, implying that you were. And they never did accept the fact that he had been conceived by the Holy Ghost and indeed was the Son of God. And so notice here in verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. I call this first dream the dream of revelation, or better, I believe, confirmation. As I said a little while ago, I wonder, did Joseph believe what Mary told him, if indeed she talked to him? And I believe that she did talk to him. I believe that she did tell him, even as any other righteous and godly woman would do concerning the man that she was going to marry. And so this is God's answer. As he said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I believe with all my heart that this was confirmation. Joseph, she's telling you the truth. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You need to believe that. You need to understand that. And we know how real that dreams can be. We've heard of people, perhaps even had the experience herself, waking up out of a dream in a cold sweat, so to speak, panting as it were, scared to death sometimes because it's so real. And that's why God uses dreams oftentimes with men, or at least many times with men. You know, women are a whole lot more likely to accept the word of God than are men. Do you know why that is? Because a woman thinks with her heart, and the scripture was designed to reach the heart. But believe me, men, God's going to have to get to our hearts too. And so he got to the heart of Joseph through a dream. And he spoke to him in such ways of reality that Joseph had no idea that, yes, Mary is carrying the Son of God. And indeed, he honored that. And so fear not. And then you will notice in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you compare these two, the account of Mary and the account of Joseph, they are almost identical. The difference is that the angel didn't speak in a dream. God didn't speak in a dream to Mary. The angel appeared unto her, and she had no question about that. She didn't back off from that. She was one who embraced it, indeed, with her heart. And so the angel appeared to her before Jesus was conceived. The angel appeared in a dream, and we don't know if it's the same angel Gabriel or not, but the angel appeared unto Joseph after Jesus had been conceived. But notice the message in both cases is really exactly the same, because the angel told her that the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and that which is in you is going to be the Son of God. You know, it's no accident, it's not new, that God speaks directly to women. He has done it more than once. We find Rebecca, and I noticed in searching some of this out, that the examples of that is around childbirth. Something that only the woman can understand. And so we read of Rebecca. And you remember she was a barren woman. And Isaac prayed for her. And she got pregnant. And she had twins. And those twins were fighting in her, even in her womb. And she went and she inquired of the Lord, what is happening? And the Lord answered her, two manner of people are in thy womb. God answered her directly. Didn't go through anybody else. He told her exactly what was happening. Then I think of Manoah's wife. Her name is not even mentioned. Yet she became the mother of Samson, the last judge in Israel. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto her. She also a barren woman. But God said, you are barren, but you are going to have a son. And this son became Samson. And then there was Hagar of all people. And God spoke directly to Hagar after she was carrying Ishmael. Spoke to her in the wilderness and told her she would have a child. He also spoke to her directly again after she had been thrown out of Abraham's camp after Ishmael was born. And so it's not unusual here that the angel would speak unto the woman. This time he spoke unto Mary. You can find this story in Luke 1:31, and it says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so God gave to both Mary and Joseph the same wonderful news. And so here we find that this was just confirmation of what had already been told to Mary. And so we read it here in verse 20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She'll bring forth a son. And then he adds to that, you're going to call his name Jesus, even as he told Mary. But this time he said that he shall save his people from their sins. And then he gives Joseph a wonderful basis. God created men and women differently. God created men, as we've said over and over again, to think with their hearts, with their emotions. As I say again, they will accept the word of God far quicker than a man will. But men must accept God's word. Men must get by their reasoning minds long enough to accept what God has said. And we know that Joseph indeed did that. However, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God gave Joseph the basis for this promise, for this assurance. It's the word of God, and this is exactly what godly, righteous men go by today. Does what is happening agree with the word of God? If it doesn't agree with the scripture, then any wise man will throw it out. But when God confirms it with his word, then this man can be assured, I can believe exactly what he's saying because the word declares it. Notice Joseph's response. Verse 24. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife." Joseph was obedient, as it were, to the heavenly calling. He didn't put it off. I don't know if it was the middle of the night when he woke up. I don't know anything like that. The scripture doesn't say, but it does tell us that Joseph immediately took action. And that's exactly what men today need to do when they get a revelation of the word of God and God direction, then do it immediately. And Joseph did that. And then notice further, this man, "He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus," exactly as God had told him to do. But you will notice the respect. You will notice the honor that Joseph had for this treasure, the Son of God, that Mary was carrying in her womb, because we read here, "He knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn child." He knew her not until she had delivered Jesus, the Son of God, into this world. Then we come to our next dream. Dream number two. And I call this one the dream of protection. You'll find out that Joseph really did take his role seriously. Every husband has been charged with protecting his wife. That's a number one priority. Joseph did it from the very beginning, where he didn't consider himself. He considered what they would say about Mary. He wanted to protect her, and that's why he would put her away privily. But notice here in our text, here in verse 13, "And when they were departed," it's talking about the wise men of the previous verse. They had come to see Jesus. They had followed his star, and they had had the encounter with Herod, And Herod had inquired about the time that they had seen this because he wanted to make sure that he was in the time frame for what he had in mind. And they went to Bethlehem and they found Jesus. He could have been as much as 2 years old when they found him, because according to the time that Herod, if you read verse 16, according to the time that Herod slew all the innocents from 2 years under, that means that from the time they told him about it, Jesus could have been as much as 2 years old by the time these wise men came and visited him. But God also, if you read verse 11, God also gave them a dream that they should depart another way and not talk to Herod again. That's in verse 12. And so now then, in verse 13, when they were departed, the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Again, Joseph is the protector. And we might wonder, well, this was the Son of God. This was the choice one that was ever born into this world. Couldn't God have protected him there? Couldn't God have showed Joseph how to do this and not go down into Egypt? You cannot second guess God. You cannot dictate to God. He had his reasons. And so they fled. They ran. And not only that, you will notice in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. They rose up in the middle of the night to get out of here in order to get into Egypt. But this was God's way. But you will notice again, we find out verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. This is another fulfillment. This is concerning the innocents that God gave, or that Herod slew that night. We find out that here Joseph would protect this child in Egypt until God said to bring him forth out. And indeed, you'll notice verse 15, he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Once again, you will notice God gave Joseph scripture. At least it was in accordance with Scripture. Out of Egypt have I called my son. I wondered as I went over this how long Jesus was in Egypt. If you go through the Scripture, God has said repeatedly that he did not want his people in Egypt, and yet here was Jesus. And perhaps symbolic of the very fact that it was God who sent Jesus into this world, typical of the world, in order to bring us out, in order to bring us salvation. Jesus could have stayed in Egypt as much as 10 years. The reason I say that is because at the next record we have of him in the book of Luke, he was 12 years of age when he appeared at the temple in Jerusalem at the Passover. And so he could have been down here longer than just a few weeks or months. It could have been as much as 10 years. But there did come the time when God once again spoke to Joseph. Verse 19, this brings us to dream number 3. Verse 19, and when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. We might wonder, why does he keep speaking to Joseph in dreams? And only God has the answer to that question. Nevertheless, he did speak this third time to Joseph in a dream. And he said, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And so this dream 3 is restoration to the land of promise. Restoration back to Jesus' homeland. And this is exactly what Joseph was indeed willing to do and ready to do, for they that are dead, which sought the young they are dead, which sought the young child's life. Verse 21, he arose and he took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Once again, Joseph is no idiot. This man is the one that God chose specifically in order to be the father, the earthly father of his son, which he would send into this world. He is still in the protection mode. He is seemingly all the way through here that he is taking real regard for what God has indeed given him to do. As we read, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. This brings us to the fourth dream. But it came because Joseph was going to be very, very careful as to how he brought this young child back to the land. Yes, Herod was dead, and those that sought his life were dead. But the scripture says, notwithstanding, Archelaus was reigned, the son of Herod. Joseph didn't know what he might do or anything of that nature. He wasn't taking any chances. And so again, God spoke to him in a dream. God told him in a dream to turn aside into the parts of Galilee. Verse 23, he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. And again, it was because that the scripture must be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. You will look in vain to find any such verse in Scripture. But the truth of it is there, and the Scripture never lies. The way we can understand this is to know the meaning of Nazareth. The word Nazareth means branch. And when we know that and understand that, then we understand that there are several prophets that spoke of the branch. It's the same thing. He shall be a Nazarene. He shall be a branch. There is no difference. And so we read of the glorious scriptures. In the 11th chapter of Isaiah, the entire chapter applies. But verse 1 says this, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the rest of this entire chapter describes Jesus as the king. That's the meaning of the fact that Jesus was a Nazarene. It is this dream is announcing that he is king. And so he shall be called a Nazarene. The rest of chapter 11, such as in verse 4, tells us this. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Jesus is the king is going to start pouring out that judgment even in the days of tribulation. We read further in the 6th verse of that same chapter. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. That's not going to happen until Jesus is fully sitting on his throne, his kingdom, during that 1,000-year reign. We read in verse 12 of the same chapter, he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. Verse 16 of that same chapter 11, there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, and that is to return to the land. All of these verses concerning the branch tell of the restoration of the nation of Israel and that wonderful time of utopia that is going to be will exist at that time. Jeremiah 23:5 describes the branch this way. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Again, a reference to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as king. Zechariah 6:12 says it this way, speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, whose name, once again, is the Nazarene. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Jesus himself will build that millennial temple. We find much today said about building, rebuilding the temple, men getting together and doing that. Even if they do, I say on the authority of God's word, it will be destroyed, because Jesus is the only one that's going to build that millennial temple. Zechariah, rather interesting that he writes and he prophesied at the time that the temple in Jerusalem was rebuilt after the captivity. But he tells of the time when the Lord himself is going to build that temple. And so today, we really can rejoice in these dreams that God gave to Joseph. We can learn so much from them about our own lives and about what God was doing, the path that he took, Christ and Joseph, the role model that Joseph was to every father in the land, in order to be the protector, the director, the one who would believe God for the direction of his family. And so here his dreams cover from the time that Jesus was born into this world as an infant until the time that he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God spoke these wonderful dreams to Joseph. And what rejoicing and what splendor we can have in our own lives because of them.